When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 306. McGonigal here with you on The Fan, 877-337-6666. A lot of time on our garden party. The Knicks go up 3-1 on the Philadelphia 76ers. The Rangers sweep the Capitals and move on and await the winner of the Carolina Islanders series. That Carolina is up 3-1. And thankfully for that, I mean, I think that's exactly what they needed. They desperately needed a quick series. I think it's so important. Now, I know it's a different group necessarily, you know, but we've seen time and time again, these long playoff series, they're grueling, especially in hockey. It's just grueling. I'm pretty sure it's a 7-month playoff. Hockey season is by far the shortest offseason. I feel like the Stanley Cup Finals ends on a Wednesday, and by like the next Thursday, it's like they're showing up for camp. It's crazy. But we got the Rangers moving on, the Knicks with a big win, and another talking point. We talked about all the different talking points in this game, Jalen Brunson and his great performance, the best ever as far as point scoring goes in Knick history, 47 points, breaking a 40-year record held by Bernard King, who scored 46 in 1984. An incredible performance, a great defensive performance at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, the offensive rebounds, the defense on Embiid, not only, you know, 0 for 4 from the floor, scoring 1 point in the fourth quarter. The crowd and the chance for MVP from the Knick contingent that was at this building, which was incredible. And, you know, you think about that. I mean, can you imagine what I'd be talking about right now if that were vice versa? If the shoe were on the other foot and we had to listen to Embiid MVP chants in the garden as they took a 3-1 lead. I mean, it is embarrassing. It's a great job by the Knick fan. I mean, it was incredible to hear. And then you watch on the videos all the FM Bead chants that are outside the building, and he's complaining about it. You know, he's not calling the fans out. No, of course not. It's just he's never seen anything like it. It's disappointing. He's actually pissed off about it, and it's not cool. It's not okay. But he's not calling the fans out. Clearly not. But it's an embarrassing job. So that's one talking point. And the other one, which we've spent some time on this morning, we will spend more time on it, 877-337-6666. The other one, I'm going to call out some Knick fans on this one. And I'll call out a specific one because I didn't get a chance to hear him, but I saw him tweeting, promoting the show, and he's my guy. I'll call out Tommy Lugauer, who's a great Knick fan, came up with the dudes and dogs and all that, and you know they're going to do damage. I mean, he's copying the Yankees, which is embarrassing. But besides that, big-time Knick fan. But the idea, and we get so hung up on the broadcasters. I know that Richard Jefferson was a New Jersey Net. I know that. I know Richard Jefferson went to NBA Finals with the Nets. And I understand previously, and you know, I'm sure, previously, has had fun at the Knicks' expense. Who hasn't? But the idea that you have to watch that game last night and feel, and I saw a couple people. I saw a bunch of people complaining about it. Just shut up, honestly. Watch the games. Yes, what'd he say? Hart was on the floor embellishing a foul. Why are we so hung up on what the broadcasters say? Like, I don't care. Like, I listen for the ultimate great call, right? You want the big call in the big moment. You love Breen because you know why you love Breen? One, he's your guy. He's with your team. He knows your team as well as you do. Richard Jefferson might know basketball, and he knows the Knicks on some level. He doesn't watch them play night in and night out. So whenever you get these national broadcasters, it's never quite as good, right, in any sport, any level. But you want the big moment. I want the double bang because the double bang is awesome. And Richard Jefferson isn't going to give you anything. I get that. But the idea that he's like some sort of Nick hate, you guys need to, Nick fans need to, this is a brand new Nick team. This is a brand new Nick team. For crying out loud, the fan base took over the arena last night. Jalen Brunson's a superstar. He's penning letters to the fan base before the playoffs start. It's been a great regular season. You're doing all of this without your guy Randall. It's been an incredible year. You finished with the 2 seed. You're 1 win away from moving on to the second round with a matchup against the Pacers that you'll probably be a heavy favorite if that series happens. And yet still whining and complaining because the broadcaster wasn't nice to us. He said it was clear he was anti-Nick. Did you hear him? Oh, Hart was on the floor embellishing the foul. What do you mean? He got hit in the face. Shut up, Richard Jefferson, you loser. Get out of your head. The LOL Knicks is over, but it'll never be completely over until it's out of your minds. Get out of your own heads. Richard Jefferson was calling the game. He said Brunson's the greatest Knick in his while he's been playing basketball. I forget how he put it. Since he joined the league, no Knick has been better in that uniform, which I guess is a shot at Melo. But that's how we'll take it. Oh, he's not pumping up Brunson. It's a cheap shot at Melo. Meanwhile, you don't care about Melo. And you're happy to say Brunson's the best player, but when Richard Jefferson says that it's just a little bit of a tweak, everything's a tweak. Get over yourselves. He's a broadcaster. His goal last night wasn't to knock the Knicks or their fan base. The LOL Knicks will end when you stop thinking about it. So stop complaining about broadcasters. Enjoy the win. Enjoy the fact that your fan base took over that building. Enjoy Jalen Brunson scoring 47 points. Enjoy the defense down the stretch and shutting down that 76ers team that looked like they had no idea what to do offensively in those last few minutes. The last 4 minutes of the game, Philadelphia had no idea what to do. Embiid, who didn't get a break, played 44 minutes, which probably was a mistake. And if Nick Nurse could go back, he'd probably give Embiid a little bit more time on the bench so he could be a little bit fresher down the stretch. But he was gassed down the stretch. Achiuwa and OG played great defense. The offensive rebounding from the Knicks. Jalen Brunson. An incredible performance. And a great game to put a stranglehold on this series and go up 3-1. And we're all complaining about Richard Jefferson. Who cares? I can even see it in Alex's face. Alex doesn't like Richard Jefferson. But you're a Nets fan.
No, I love Richard Jefferson.
Okay, well, I mean, so you agree with me. But did you think
Yeah.
Did you think he was on the broadcast killing the Knicks or no?
No, that's just his persona that he always does. That he's always sarcastic. Like there's a compilation of him just saying like, you know, he just says like outlandish stuff to fans. Like he was going past Boston fans at TD Garden.
Right.
Like, you know, Boston fans are great, blah blah blah. But I'm undefeated against you in the playoffs.
Right.
So like he just like does that with fans. So, but and you know he's pretty knowledgeable. I mean he does Nets games as well.
Yeah,
so.
I mean I thought yeah I know he does. I thought he was okay on the broadcast. I don't think he's Ruco's solid.
Yeah.
And I thought it's a decent broadcast. But I mean we just get so hung up on it. I saw countless people. That's the last game he should ever do. I heard someone calling to Lori. He should never do another Nick game ever again in the playoffs. And I see Tommy Lugauer going nuts, putting up pictures of him and Evan as the Nick haters contingent. Like, that's fine. We should be past that. Should be focusing on how well the Knicks have played and what Brunson did last night. Not what the broadcaster had to say. Like, it's every single. I can't tell you. Like, my friends, I have like a bunch of buddies. Believe it or not, I do have friends or people who call themselves my friends. It happens. I've gotten a couple. I got a couple of them. They despise Joe Buck. I don't know why. I mean,
I'm kind of in that realm.
Despise him. They are convinced that he hates their team. He hates the Giants. He hates the Yankees. They're convinced. Now, I know this is a little bit different. Richard Jefferson does, like you said, has a little fun with the fans. And he was a Net. He played against the Knicks. You know, it's different than Joe Buck.
There was this one time. Sorry to cut you off.
At band camp.
There was this one time where, like, he was doing a Nets game, and it was a Nets-Knicks game. And he made this joke where he said, I actually retired because the Knicks were the only team to give me an offer.
Right.
So I'd rather commentate for the Nets than play for the Knicks. But then he cleared it up the next day, like, oh, it was just a joke.
No, I get it. And I'm not saying he's never done this. I'm not saying you can't go through his entire broadcasting career or playing career where he hasn't needled the Knicks. I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has. I believe that. I'm sure he has. And there was a time where you would poke fun at everything the Knicks did, and they deserved it. But we're past it. We're past it now. And the idea that you're hung up on the broadcast, we shouldn't even be thinking about it. Shouldn't even be thinking about it. Don't let Richard Jefferson live rent-free in your head. Move on. Angel in Seattle. What's up, Angel?
Hey, what's going on, my man?
What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to really call in and talk about how, we're going to talk about the wins and everything, obviously. You know, Knicks and five. We already know what's going on.
Knicks and five. That's what we're going. That's what we're shooting for.
That's where we're going, right? Hey, as somebody living in the Northwest, seeing that I'm working and like I'm getting all the text messages from my family back in Jersey, and it feels good. We've never been able to experience this on this particular level, and what I mean by that is, whatever, we're not touching the money. We're not. So we're going to leave the money where it's at, but we're going to look at also the future as well. We got how many draft picks over the next 6 years? We've never been set up like this ever in our
lifetime. The Knicks are in a very good place.
It is ridiculous.
No,
and obviously, like I'm not looking ahead and I'm not going ahead and moving. You know, we still got a tough game because, God forbid, we've been on the wrong, as a Giants fan, as a Rangers fan,
yeah,
as a Mets fan. You know, obviously, you're not a Mets fan. I get that. But I've been on the wrong side of so many different things. What can go wrong will go wrong. But you want to know what? I feel really good about this. And I feel good about this all the way, like 3,000 miles away, man. It's amazing to experience this. Yeah. And knowing what our future actually holds for us.
Yeah.
And knowing how this team has been built. None of these guys had a chance, right? Like, and what I mean by that is, we don't have any lottery picks. You've seen the tweet. You've seen when that one came out. No, there's no lottery picks on this particular Knicks team at this particular point. You know, no. Oh, there's dogs. Shout out to Loogie, right? Shout out to the morning show. You know what's up? And so we're at this particular point where these guys got to prove something. And what? One of the things that I took from this was people were doubting Precious. I remember talking to my brother the other day, and I was like, Precious, God forbid he comes in, right? Like, in a perfect world, we're going to be able to go ahead and do what we're doing because Mitch is back. But now we're right out Mitch at this point, and Hartenstein goes down with 5,000 in the third period.
Yeah, third quarter.
How does that happen? You can't breathe on that guy. And there was a couple tough ones, but, whatever. But Achiuwa, shout out to him, the big sneeze. That man is a dog. And I just wanted to come in.
I've never heard that before, sneeze.
I'm going to hang up and listen, but yeah. I hope you guys feel the same way. I hope New York feels
course.
The same way.
Listen, and you mentioned we're all pumped, man, and you're right. They're in a good space. And it's funny, you mentioned what Achiuwa has done here. I'm sure Boomer can't wait to come in today. I heard him after game one. I guess it was game one, maybe game two, whichever game it was, complaining that Achiuwa, Thibodeau's not rolling with the bench. The starters are going to be burned. Achiuwa's been good. Why isn't Achiuwa playing? And obviously, with Mitchell Robinson, there was less of a need for him. And now that Mitchell Robinson was out, ruled out of the game just before he went through the warmups, I guess couldn't get it to go. And Achiuwa was huge in this game. There's no doubt about it. And that's a perfect example. Achiuwa and how he played defensively in this game is a perfect example of what this Knick team is. Someone who's there, who isn't needed at times, and when he's called upon, comes through and does exactly what he needs. They don't need him to come in and hit shots. They don't need him to come in and hit threes. They don't need him to come in and be anything other than someone who can help defend Embiid, block four shots, get rebounds. That's it. And that's what he comes in and does. I mean, that's a perfect example. Someone who didn't play in the first two games being an absolute key figure down the stretch when Hartenstein has to go to the bench with five fouls. That's what this Knicks team is perfectly. And yes, moving forward, they have a ton of first-round picks. And look, and you mentioned, you know, it's not just getting through this series. That's not enough. They have one more win to get to win this series. That's not enough. Let's say it's Indiana, just for the sake of argument. They're up 3-1. They can't lose that series. A healthy Milwaukee, maybe you could talk yourself into it still being a positive year if they lose that series. You won a series, you beat Philadelphia, you lost to Giannis. What are you going to do? They can't lose to the Pacers. They can't lose to the 6-seed Pacers. Can't happen. So, yes, there's only one more win to this series. Then they have to move forward. If they win this game and they best be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Otherwise, it's going to be disappointing. And as far as moving forward, we'll get to that. But, yes, the team's in great position. They have a ton of first-round picks. And I think the big question of the offseason is going to be, what do you do with Randle? Could you trade Randle, get a different secondary superstar, if not, you know, right there, 1A with Brunson? How do you go about shaping this team? Do you stick with Randle? Do you stick with pretty much the same team? What do you do with all those picks? Do you try and trade for a superstar? Is there a way to keep three of them on the team like this? Like, that's going to be, moving forward, unless they win an NBA championship, it's going to be, how do they get better? How do they become an NBA championship contender? But right now, we're not focused on that. Right now, yes, Leon Rose and this staff have done an incredible job. And I have felt better not only about the team on the floor, but the way this team is situated, the people making the decisions. I haven't felt better about how the Knicks are run in forever. I mean, it's been a disaster. They've been a joke. They've been a laughingstock, which still presents itself with things like the stupid video that came out last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, of James Gandolfini and Edie Falco making that ridiculous video for LeBron James that was leaked earlier last week when they tried to sell LeBron James back in whatever year it was, 2010, 11, whatever year it was. I mean, embarrassing. And so there are still, you know, LOL Knicks moments. The franchise has been run so poorly for forever, and yet Leon Rose, when you look at what Leon Rose has done here, yeah, all the picks, yeah, the ability for the future, but look at how he built this team. You mentioned no lottery picks. Look at what he's done here. The last handful of moves have been what? Hartenstein, DiVincenzo, and then in the season he trades for Anunoby and Achiuwa, immediately changing the feel of the team, immediately. That's my favorite. I know I say that a lot. That's my favorite piece of the Anunoby trade. What we're seeing now, yeah, I mean, clearly it's more important. But the idea that, and what makes me feel better, let me put it this way, not necessarily what makes me feel better about the overall trade, because what makes me feel better about that is how he's performing now and the way he's contributing to a team that hopefully has its sights set on the Eastern Conference Finals. But the instant nature of the success of the Anunoby trade, that the way that worked immediately and transformed the team. They got rid of two fan favorites, a third overall pick in R.J. Barrett, and their sixth man of the year candidate, and instant offense off the bench quickly, fan favorite stud, who I really liked. They got rid of both those players, brought in Anunoby, and from day one, the first game with that new crew, they go out and beat Minnesota and go on this unbelievable run. And what that tells me is they knew exactly what the team needed, and they knew exactly that Thibodeau could implement it immediately. Like, I love the idea. That's what makes me, when that kind of thing happens, because nobody would have been surprised if it took time to gel. Like, after that first game, you got Randle in the post game talking about, yeah, you know, it was weird. We miss RJ and Quick, it just, you know, it was a, it's a different thing. We're going to have to get used to it. But on the court, you know, it felt really good, like immediately on the court. And when you have a GM and coach working in tandem where they know exactly what they need, and within a game, it transforms the team for the better in a dramatic way, that makes me feel really good about the way things are being run. Now, the Bogdanović and Burks trade, Burks has been a zero, and Bogdanović hit some shots here, played poorly most of the year, started to get hot at the end, and then has come through with some big shots in the postseason before tweaking his ankle a minute into his playing time yesterday. But that trade, you know, it gave you Bogdanović. It helped a little bit. But that Anunoby trade transformed who they are. And moving forward, whatever, wherever this season ends, I have full confidence in Leon Rose and Tibbs to make the right moves in the offseason to make this team better. And right now, as long as they have Brunson, how could you not feel like they'll be better next?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
And speaking about former Nets and Richard Jefferson, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see Kyrie yesterday for Dallas, but man, oh man, what an incredible performance. They do fall short 116-111 to the Clippers, who even up the series at 2. And, you know, Luka's down on himself. He's been dealing with some knee issues. He's hasn't played particularly well. He's, you know, he had a triple-double in the game, but shooting, you know, I think he was 1-for-8 from three-point line, 1-for-9 from three, getting beat a little bit defensively. But Kyrie Irving, they fall behind 31 points in this game against the Clippers. And, you know, I know Kyrie isn't, you know, one of our favorite people around here, but man, oh man, he puts on a virtuoso performance. I think I read he didn't score a point until they were down 30. So he scored, they're down 31. He scores 40 points. He's 6-for-12 from three, but he hits big shot after big shot, getting to the basket, miraculous layups. I mean, just taking on the entire team and throwing it up. I mean, he drags the team back. At one point, they were tied in this game. They do lose, but he put on an incredible performance. And as we talk about him and Durant and Durant's legacy, and I talked about how interesting that's going to be moving forward as he got swept by Minnesota after he built a, you know, forced his way out. All these guys forced their way out. I mean, you know, Kyrie didn't want to be part of Brooklyn, so he has to get traded. Then, of course, you know, Durant wants out. He gets sent to Phoenix. And he builds a little bit of a super team there with Beal and Booker. And they get swept by Minnesota. And watching those two guys play, I mean, Durant played well in the series. 33 points last night. But just the inability. I mean, they're just in shock. I don't know what they're going to do. They have to break it down, I suppose. Now, that's the only thing that comes from that is, could you see, as you know, we're trying to look at everything through a Knicks lens, could you see Booker become available from Phoenix? If so, that's someone who scored 49 points in this game last night. That would be someone worthy of trading all your picks for and bringing to the Knicks to try and put them over the top. But again, that's more building for the future. But Kyrie's performance, we're seeing a couple of performances here. Clearly, Edwards in that series from Minnesota was incredible. 40 points as they sweep away Phoenix. We saw an incredible performance from Kyrie. I mean, whatever you want to say about Kyrie, and I understand the issues he's gone on from team to team. Right now, Luka sounds like he appreciates him as a teammate and everything he's doing for this team. And I understand the head case he may be and the problems he may cause. But watching him play basketball, he's one of the great, he's one of the great scorers I've ever seen. His ability to shoot, get to the basket at his size, I mean, he's an incredible player. And watching him is a lot of fun. You know, being along for the roller coaster that is Kyrie Irving, not so much fun. But on a big game, watching him play, watching him perform, watching him battle back from 31 points down, I mean, it was, and even Harden in that game had, Harden showed some toughness in that game. I was watching a lot of that game. He got to the basket at will. I thought he played really well. For him, another head case we probably like even less around here. But watching those two guys go at it in the playoffs has been kind of fun. It was yesterday, at least.
There's not a day that goes by.
There's not a day that goes by
that I don't. I miss them. I really.
Really. You know, it's funny because I remember, a lot of Net fans at the beginning of the year. This is a fun group. This is a group we can get behind. This is a young, talented group. They're playing well. We don't have to worry about this nonsense. It's a lot of fun. And now that the season fell apart, and after, being 500 through the first 20 games or so.
We were like 14 and 10.
14 and 10, right.
I was never high on this season anyways. Mm-hmm. I think we should have traded Mikal Bridges yesterday. That I can go on about, but I mean, those three together, I know it was only, 16 games.
It's the biggest failure.
Because it was a what if. Because if they were all together, no one beat us. Well, we were 13-3 record with them together.
I understand. They didn't play a lot. They got hurt in that postseries. Durant's foot is just on the line to keep you from winning that game. I get it. But now you're talking about, and Durant, too, just for his own history here. I mean, you're talking about a guy who couldn't get it done in OKC. He goes to Golden State. He gets zero credit for winning two championships and two NBA finals. He puts together, I know it was Kyrie's idea, I suppose, but he comes to Brooklyn. He builds the super team of all super teams. They win one playoff series. That's it. It's a colossal failure, whether it's because of, COVID and injuries. Whatever the case, it's an out-and-out colossal failure. He goes and gets shipped and demands to be traded and gets shipped to Phoenix. He puts together a big three there, and they just got they lost the first round last year, and they just got embarrassed with a four-game sweep at the hands of the Minnesota Timberwolves this year. I mean, Kevin Durant is building himself quite the legacy. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure how he's going to be viewed. But he's probably one of the more interesting figures. I don't know where he's going to fall. Because if it's just talent and talent alone, he's one of the handful of great players, certainly of this generation. And, honestly, his ability at his size to shoot and play, I mean, he could be one of the best handful of players to ever play the game. One of the best 20 players to ever play the game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's a top five player I've ever watched. I mean,
right.
LeBron, Steph, Kobe, KD, and probably Duncan.
All of those guys are viewed as winners and superstars, and I don't know how Kevin Durant is viewed now. I think he's viewed as someone who doesn't want to do it on his own, someone who needs to put together super teams, someone who's now demanded out of multiple situations, and someone who can't win without another great player like Curry. And it's unfortunate for him, but that's just the nature of what it is. Watching some of the performances we saw, I didn't see as much of the Phoenix game, but I watched a lot of that Dallas game. And watching those two guys play in this playoff series, and you know what? Play damn hard and play really good. And watch, Kyrie, who it never worked here, and then he got the ankle sprain in that playoff series against Milwaukee. I mean, amazing what could have been. Amazing what could have been watching those two guys.
Yeah.
I feel for you.
Yeah.
But that's in the past. Right now we have a Knicks team.
I blame Vince Carter for making me a Nets fan.
Well, listen, whatever you got to do to get yourself through. Right now you got to watch the Knicks. Hold on to Richard Jefferson. He's killing the Knick fan base is hung up on Richard Jefferson instead of being hung up on the idea that Brunson scored 47 points. The team's unstoppable. The crowd is taking over road games in Philadelphia. You got Embiid not knowing what to do. He's pissed off at the fans. He's calling them out. The entire place is chanting F Embiid after the game. They take a 3-1 series lead, and the Knicks look unstoppable.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 345, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 877-337-6666. You can also hit me up on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at CMACWFAN. Let's talk a little Yankee baseball for a second. I haven't touched much baseball as we talked about, obviously, the Knicks and Rangers. Rangers move on. Knicks take a 3-1 lead, looking to end things. Knicks in five come Tuesday night. That's the hope for us Knicks fans. But the baseball teams did play. We went over a little bit about the Mets and how I do despise. Those City Connect jerseys are hideous. I feel like I need to say it one more time. Just as we found out that Major League Baseball is going to fix the issue of the current uniforms. They're going to go back to the old ones, the bigger lettering. I guess they're going to just drop these new uniforms altogether. And thankfully so. But as we go back to newer uniforms, I'm sorry, those City Connect uniforms are gross. I hate them. I'm not one, you know, I hope the Yankees have one. I'm not one of these big, like, it's a City Connect. I'm not saying change the pinstripes. Never change the pinstripes. But if you're going to add a different jersey, I don't care. It's baseball. We've been doing it. It's changing. That's fine. And maybe they'll change it and I'll think theirs is hideous. But I hate the Mets uniforms. The hats with the bridge, I think, are nice. The gray and black and purple with the white pants, I think it's hideous. But having said that, we talked about that. Let's talk about the Yankees and scoring 30 runs over the last 2 days and this offense finally erupting after what was probably, for me, the most frustrating loss of the year when you consider everything that happened. And the most anger I've ever had towards Aaron Boone. And I know I'm a Yankee shill. I always defend Aaron Boone. Well, here, listen to me good and listen to me now. Aaron Boone was horrendous on Friday. I have no idea what he was thinking. So after a game where I felt like they blew it and didn't bring their closer back to secure a victory after throwing 10 pitches or at least going to a reliever, I don't know, that's pitched for the Yankees before. And instead bringing in Tompkins, who'd been released by the Mets twice and released by the Minnesota Twins. I would have liked to have seen anybody else. So after that frustrating loss, this Yankee team, and Aaron Judge in particular, along with Rizzo, explode for 30 runs, 15 each, over the last two games. And as they set up to take on the Baltimore Orioles now with a one-game lead over the Orioles in the division, and they get set for a four-game series, watching this team, this is what I've been saying for forever. This is what I've been saying watching this entire thing. Watching the offense struggle, they've been shut out, what, four times? Oh, the offense stinks. It's the same thing as last year, just plus Juan Soto. That's all that is, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's terrible. This one stinks. That one stinks. The lineup stinks. This is what the lineup can be. Not 15 runs a game, I get it. But this is what the lineup can be with Judge hitting. Judge hitting changes everything. It's not a coincidence. This lineup erupts and it's Judge. Yes, you know, we saw on his birthday, happy birthday to my guy, Anthony Volpe, with a 3-run home run. We've seen Rizzo have multiple home runs and he looks to be driving the baseball, which is a good sight to see. And he hits his 300th. Congratulations on the 300th home run of the very, very good career of Anthony Rizzo. And hopefully he's kind of waking up. Gleyber Torres comes through the other day with the big hit, the double up the gap that scores all three runs with the bases loaded. That was a huge hit for him. He had multiple hits in that game, came through with a hit in this game, starting to snap out of it. But this team, and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, I love Juan Soto. I love what he's brought to this team. The impact he had was felt immediately, and watching this team and how they battle on every pitch, you know, has really been amazing. And the impact he's had, and watching him, his at bats are so much fun, and everything about it. And I hope they give him $600 million, and I hope he's here forever. He's a great player, having a great season, and the Yankees are far better because they have him. But the driving force of this team and the best player this team has is Aaron Judge. And if Aaron Judge in the middle of that lineup, and it doesn't matter where he hits, moving him from second to third doesn't matter. Would I be willing to try it? Sure, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Him in the middle of the lineup doing nothing keeps the offense from being able to do anything. I'm sorry. I understand they shouldn't be shut out as much. I understand they should be able to string some hits together. Him being a dud in the middle of that lineup after Soto puts a ceiling on this offense. Him breaking out of it, him hitting multiple home runs, him driving the baseball changes who they are. It changes who they are, and you can see it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to score 15 runs a night, but what I'm saying is this team is dramatically different when Judge is hitting. And Gleyber Torres has gotten into it. I think they're two very important players that the Yankees have gotten absolutely nothing from. And I don't know what you can expect from this Yankee offense with Judge doing nothing. And you can see the difference. You can see it, feel it, touch it. It's tangible. He is the driving force of the team. And I'm not trying to stir up controversy, but Aaron Judge is the best player on the team. And I can't even imagine that's controversy. He is. Aaron Judge is the best hitter in baseball. He has been. He is. He struggled for a month. It's typically a little bit longer than what he normally struggles. But you will go find, even in his great year of 22, a three-week stretch where he hit under 200. He struggled. And I know they gave out stats about him middle. And I'm not saying he's completely out of it. It's a couple days. But if he heads into Baltimore where he typically mashes, these Orioles are in trouble. Because I'll tell you right now, I think this Yankee team is really good. They're 19-10. Everyone's got a bunch of complaints. And sure, they're not a complete team. They're not a perfect team. Name a team in the American League that's better. And right now, this rotation that, yes, does not go deep into games, and the bullpen has been taxed, and that's why probably Boone manages the way he manages. And that game on Friday was the first real time I have felt that this sense of this new renowned sense of urgency that I feel they've played with to start this year went out the window. There was no urgency on Friday. There was none. Because Holmes hadn't pitched in a couple days. He threw 10 pitches. There was no reason he couldn't come back out once the Yankees took the lead. And then even if you don't want to send him back out there for the second inning, there's other pitchers to bring out other than Tompkin making his Yankee debut. It was a horrendous spot. And that's the first time from Aaron Boone that I have seen a lack of urgency when he has really implemented a brand new sense of urgency with this team. And then people go nuts. You know, there's a level of anger. I was mad at him. I was mad at the way that was handled. There's a level of anger. And then there's a level of realizing what the Yankees are. The Yankees are 19-10. They've lost one series. They lost to Toronto in Toronto. That's it. They just went into Milwaukee and pounded the Brewers, who were in first place in that division and playing very well. Pounded them. Both games had position players pitching. They absolutely ripped apart the Milwaukee Brewers. They've lost one series. They keep plugging away. Rodon has been excellent. Nestor Cortez has been good. Clark Schmidt, who will start later tonight in Baltimore, has been good. Clay Holmes is perfect as a reliever and a closer. And this lineup is just about to get going because Judge has woken up. And once Judge and Soto are going together in the same lineup, it is going to be massively different. So quit crying, all you complainers. It drives me nuts the amount of negativity wrapped around this team that's in first place and is 9 games over 500. Where if you told me they were 9 games over 500 at this point to start the year, I would have been thrilled with considering the tough schedule. They're 9 games over. They're in first place, about to take on Baltimore. This is a big week. This is a big Monday. This is a big 4-game set against Baltimore for the Yankees. I'm looking forward to it. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Good morning, Big Mac. How you doing, Big
Good
guy?
Morning, Sue. I'm doing well.
Yeah, I'm heading back home. I should be home in about a half an hour from Washington.
Sounds great.
So it was, number two, Big Mac, we did.
Oh, you went to Washington for the game.
Yes, I went to Washington. I did offer you through Sal on Tuesday. We had a great time.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that. I can't. I mean, I coach Little League. I already kind of blew off one game. I can't keep blowing off these Little League games. I appreciate it, though.
I was listening to you on the way home, and everything you said about the Yankees is 100% right. Boone, I've always said to you, in a big game down the road, I'm always worried about Boone because look what he did on Friday night. It's just something how I feel about
Boone.
Here's
what I'll tell you, Mitchell. You and I, that's not a big game. I disagree with how he managed it. That's not a big game. What's big about that game?
It's not a big game, but it's just how he managed it. And, you know,
he won't manage that way in a big game. He's not going to take a playoff game and be worried about the amount of innings.
No.
You know, it's different.
Right.
But in that moment, I thought, I mean, he showed no interest in winning that baseball game.
That's exactly right. And even the announcer said that also. Nelson said it. But again, it's everything you said just the last 5 minutes about the Yankees. Everyone has to stop crying about the Yankees. They're in first place. They got, 9-10. The team is fine. You know, and you're going to get LeMahieu back eventually. Who knows when?
Yeah.
But that's another story. But Big Mac, you've got to put down one other player that you didn't talk about that's pitching really well. How about Heem? Howard Gill, whatever his name is. I don't know how to even pronounce it.
Yeah,
but he's pitched great for the Yankees. Yeah, Heel. He's pitched great for the Yankees for the last,
He's been good, and thank you for the call, Mitch, and thank you for the invite, too. Sorry I couldn't take you up on it. He's been good. He doesn't go deep into games either, but he's got filthy stuff. He's got to have more confidence in that fastball. He's got to be willing to throw more strikes. He's trying to get everybody to swing and miss. He's trying to fool everybody. He needs to pitch a little bit more to contact because his stuff is excellent. And if he starts getting deeper into games, he could be a real threat. Right now, he's the epitome of a 4 or 5-inning pitcher. That's just what he's been. But, yeah, the Yankees, I mean, I don't know how anyone could be even slightly disappointed with this Yankee team. Like, you have to really look hard to be disappointed. Sure, they're not perfect. I got complaints, I suppose, but how could you not be happy with 19-10 and a game up on the Orioles? I mean, Cleveland's out of their mind. They're 19-9. Other than that, I mean, they're the best. Them and the Braves are the only two teams better, and Philadelphia has the same record. They're one of the best teams in baseball. Who's better? The Guardians, and they went in and beat the Guardians. Tampa Bay just got swept by the White Sox and are 3 games under 500. Toronto's under 500. I mean, the Astros are in last place at 9-19. They look to be an absolute disaster, which I got to tell you, I wasn't sure when I was going to do this, and it's only 9-19. I'm not happy about it. I'm really not happy that the Astros are 9-19. It's keeping me up at night. I don't want the Astros to fade into oblivion. I don't want the Astros to win 70 games this year. I don't want the Astros to just be done and have a miserable season and never be heard from again. I want the Astros to win this division. I want the Astros to go to the postseason. And I want the Yankees to, quote Evan Roberts, take their soul. So I am rooting hard for the Houston Astros. I watch every game, at least some of it, and I root hard for Houston. I am an Astros fan right now. because I don't want them to be terrible without ever getting my revenge. I don't want them to just fade away and finish in last place. On some level, sure, I'll get a kick out of it. Yeah, all right. It's fine. Oh, look at them. They blew. The Astros suck. Not enough. I need to do it to them. Like I'm a member of the team. Deal with it. We need to exact a little bit of revenge. Now, would one playoff series do it? No. I'm not a fool. I'm aware of how many playoff series they have beat the New York Yankees, going back to the wild card of 2015. I know this. And while one season wouldn't be enough and one playoff victory would not even the score, it's something. I need a piece. I need a taste. I can't just have them fade into oblivion. I need to take them down. And if the Yankees were, especially this lousy team, if they would figure out a way to be a wild card team or something, and the Yankees put them out of their misery, and then they can go fade away. The Yankees can be that final death knell, and then they can go be a terrible baseball team. But not until then. So you hear me, you bums in Houston? You hear me, you trash can banging, cheating sons of guns? You hear me? You better get your asses straight, and you better figure this thing out. You better turn this lousy season around, because I am not going to watch you squander my opportunity to beat your ass. So get it together. 19-9. You should be embarrassed. Figure it out. Come on, Verlander. Altuve, wake it up. I don't care what you have to do. Go figure out another cheating scandal. I don't care. Get back in the mix. You can't hide from us. They're in last place, hiding beneath the Angels. We see you. So figure it out. 877-337-6666. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Taking your phone calls for one more hour until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, where my man Fleegs and my man CeeLo will be in for the great Al and Jerry. Looking forward to it on my way home. Maybe talk a little hockey, as Fliegelman's team did rally, and hopefully can give those Hurricanes a little bit of a series and get them all worn out for the nice, rested New York Rangers, who are sitting right now with their feet up. They're drinking drinks with umbrellas in it, getting ready to see who's next.